Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, join John Carpenter for A Journey with Mary, an in-depth look at some of the many places Our Lady has been throughout the world since 40 A.D. Came from the Catholic Defender Radio Network. That's Journey with Mary, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Sunday nights on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And good morning and welcome to Deeper Truth, Holy Name of Jesus, preparing for Christmas, December 25th. Are you ready? Today is December the 10th, 2022. The Feast of Blessed Adolf Koeppling, and I'm adding the Freeborn Woman allegory of the Virgin Mary. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in union with the merits of Jesus and Mary, I offer you, for the sake of the poor souls, all the satisfactory value of my works during life, as well as all that will be done for me after death. I give you my all through the hands of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, that she may set free whatever soul she pleases, according to her heavenly wisdom and mother's love for them. Receive this offering, O God, and grant me in return an increase of your grace. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses, said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen. O good Jesus, according to your great mercy, have mercy on me. O most merciful Jesus, by your precious blood which you did will to shed for sinners, I beseech you to wash away all my iniquities and to look graciously upon me, a poor and unworthy sinner, as I call upon your holy name. Therefore, O Jesus, do save me for your holy name's sake. O God, who did appoint your only begotten Son to be the Savior of mankind and did command his name to be called Jesus, mercifully grant that we may enjoy the vision of him in heaven, whose holy name we venerate on earth, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end. Blessed Adolf Koeppling. 8 December. He was born and he died on 4 December, 1865. Blessed Adolf Koeppling was a German Catholic priest and the founder of the Koeppling Association. He led the movement for providing and promoting social support for workers in industrialized cities while also working to promote the dignities of workers in accordance with the social magisterium of the faith. Adolf Kolping was a priest and, before all, a social reformer. With the foundation of workers' unions, he laid the foundation for the Kolping Society, today present and active in about 60 countries. The Kolping families are the local unions of this Catholic network. And there are about 60, the rise of the factory system in the 19th century, Germany, brought many single men into cities where they faced new challenges to their faith. Father Adolf Kolping began a ministry to them, hoping that they would not be lost to the Catholic faith, as was happening to workers elsewhere in industrialized Europe. He said, "The first thing that a person finds in life, and the last to which he holds out his hand, and the most precious that he possesses, even if he does not realize it, is family life." And he's 100% right there. Totally. Importance of family. Father Kolping grew up as the son of a shepherd. At the age of 18, he went to Cologne as a shoemaker's assistant. He was shocked by the living conditions of most people living there, which influenced his decision to become a priest. At age 23, he attended he studied theology in Munich and Cologne. On April 10th, 1845, he was ordained a priest. And he said, "Let's show Christian living in ever more practical ways, and the present will be better and the future brighter." And so he became a shoemaker at an early age because of his family's economic situation. Ordained in 1845, he ministered to young workers in Cologne, establishing a choir. By 1849, had grown into the Young Workmen Society. A branch of this began in St. Louis, Missouri. In 1856, 9 years later, there were 400 workmen's societies around the world, and today this group has over 450,000 members in 54 countries across the globe. In 1847, he became the second president of the Catholic Association of Journeymen, which gave young journeymen religious and social support. And by 1865, over 400 local groups of the Journeymen's Organization had been established and were functioning throughout Europe and in America. And he would say, Father would say, "The needs of the times will teach you what to do." Commonly called the Kolping Society, it emphasizes the sanctification of family life and the dignity of labor. Father Kolping worked to improve conditions for workers and greatly assisted those in need. He and St. John Bosco had similar interests in working with young men in big cities. He told his followers, again, "The needs of the times will teach you what to do." And he also said, "The first thing that a person finds in life, and the last to which he holds out his hand, and the most precious that he possesses, even if he does not realize it, is family life." So in 1849, he returned to Cologne as vicar of the cathedral and helped establish Cologne's Association of Journeymen. He united the existing journeymen associations as this fusion was the origin of today's international Kolping work. Until his death, he labored to spread the Federation of Journeymen Associations. By the year of his death, 1865, there were more than 400 journeymen associations worldwide. And Blessed Adolf Kolping and Blessed John Duns are buried in Cologne's originally served by the Conventual Franciscans. The Coping Society's international headquarters are located across this from this church. Coping members journeyed to Rome from Europe and America, Africa, Asia, and Oceania for Father Coping's beatification in 1991, the 100th anniversary of Pope Leo XIII's revolutionary encyclical on the social order, and Father Coping's personal witness and apostolate helped prepare for that encyclical. His liturgical feast is celebrated on December 4th. He died on 4 December 1865 due to lung cancer. He had suffered from a severe joint inflammation in his right arm, forearm, that spring. Pope St. John Paul II visited his tomb in November 1980 while visiting the nation. He said, and I quote Pope St. John Paul II, "We need models like Father Adolf Coping in today's church." He also said the human life cannot exist without joy, without fun, least of all during youth. Thus, joy and fun deserve an essential place in community life. And that's interesting. That's very interesting. Because I've always seen that God is first, family is second, work is third, and then fun, you know, that kind of thing. So he also said, religion and work are the golden foundation of the people. That's very close to something that President George Washington had said and made remark about, the importance of religion. And so I'm going to say that quote again. The human life cannot exist without joy, without fun, least of all during youth. Thus, joy and fun deserve an essential place in community life. And so the beatification for the priests commenced on 21 March 1934, and he was later titled as Venerable in 1989. His beatification was celebrated under Pope St. John Paul II on 27 October 1991 in St. Peter's Square. And his liturgical feast is not affixed to the date of his death, as is the norm, but rather on 6 December. And so, the story of Blessed Adolf Coping and how important it is for youth today and for family, and how terrible it is when youth have no vision. Without a vision, perish. And without an opportunity, people become despair and the breakdown of society. So pray for America. Pray for America and the need for America, that young men and women today can face the challenges of today. And through the example of like Blessed Adolf Coping and our Holy Catholic Church, proclaim liberty to set captives free. And that's what Christmas is all about. That's why this is so important. Important for all of us.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Stephen Sharp Nelson here representing the Piano Guys. We wanted to take a minute to express our gratitude for everyone involved in this project, all the YouTubers that brought their talent into this thing to make it possible. You've got to watch this video over here. It's called Share the Gift. It's what all of this project has been about. And for us, the Christmas season is so special. We believe the purpose of life is to be happy. And for us in our own lives, that happiness has come from following the teachings of Jesus Christ, holding family extra close, and loving others more than ourselves. It's not easy, but it's so worth it. And Christmas so beautifully brings all of these three things together. So go out and make someone else's Christmas season extra special by doing something anonymous for somebody in need. Do whatever it is that you feel you want to do to share the gift of Christmas. Merry Christmas.
And I concur, Merry Christmas. We are in Advent. And so, now I'm going to share the free-born woman allegory of the Virgin Mary. Brothers and sisters, it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free-born woman. The son of the slave woman was born naturally, the son of the free-born through a promise. Now this is an allegory. These women represent two covenants. One was from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. This is Hagar. But the Jerusalem above is freeborn, and she is our mother. Are you kind of catching this a little bit, this allegory? And she is our mother. Well, let me ask you a question. Who is our mother? Well, St. John tells us, Revelation chapter 12, 17, the woman of Genesis chapter 3, 15. And you can find her in Revelation chapter 12. This woman, she is the mother of those who proclaim the name of Jesus. And so, the Blessed Virgin Mary is our spiritual mother. For it is written, rejoice, you barren one who bore no children, break forth and shout, you who were not in labor, for more numerous are the children of the deserted one than of her who has a husband. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are children not of the slave woman, but of the free-born woman. For freedom, Christ set us free. And who brought Jesus Christ into the world to set us free? The Blessed Virgin Mary. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Galatians chapter 4, 22 to chapter 5, verse 1. A very important clue is given by St. Paul. He states, brothers and sisters, we are children not of the slave woman, but of the free-born woman. And I ask again, who is this free-born woman? For Christians, this could only be one woman. It is the same woman of Revelation chapter 12, 17. Then the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. It is the same woman of John 19:26. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, and he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. The idea of freeborn woman would also point to the woman of the Immaculate Conception. There is only one free-born woman, and that is the Virgin Mary. Isaiah chapter 7:14 states, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Our Lady of Mount Carmel ties this prophetic sign to the sign of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 44. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." The seventh time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising out of the sea." And he said, "Go up," said Ahab, "prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." There are four basic components from the signs of Isaiah and Elijah that tie them to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Number one, the Immaculate Conception. Because the Virgin would arise as a cloud out of the salty sea water, saturated with the guilt of humanity, having the same nature of the water, but without its bitterness. Our Lady was conceived without original sin and not marred by sin. Number two, the virginity of Mary. Because Mary arose out of Mount Carmel and like a man's foot in the Douay Rheims version of the scripture, this means Mary would follow the path of Elijah, who ascended Carmel through voluntary virginity as Elijah and completed the pure works. And then I would put that add in hands. And third, the time of the virgin birth. Because Elijah's servant saw the cloud on his seventh try, so would the world witness the advent of the Virgin preparing for the seventh age, the virginal maternity. Because in the little cloud, God would come down like a sweet rain without noise of human collaboration except Mother Mary, that is, without violating Mary's purity. The sign of the cloud revealed rain. The sign of the Virgin with child revealed grace. The Blessed Virgin Mary's birthday is celebrated on 8 September. The sign of our restoration brought us our redemption through her Son, Jesus Christ. Mary is the freeborn woman. Abraham's two sons, Ishmael, born of the slave woman, Hagar, and Isaac, born of the wife, Sarah, represents two peoples, two nations. It is through Isaac that the promise of God has been preserved, ultimately coming of the Messiah and the holy promised one of God. By following Jesus, we are spiritually sons and daughters of Father Abraham, John chapter 8, verses 39 to 58. We see in the gospel Jesus making this case. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the queen of the south will rise, and the men of this generation. And she will condemn them because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it because at the preaching of Jonah, they repented. And there is something greater than Jonah here." Jesus speaks of a sign. The sign that Jesus gave this generation is found in John chapter 6, verse 30. The people challenged Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you?" And then Jesus gives the bread of life discourse that becomes the sign, not just for his time, but for all time. Four times Jesus states, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." John chapter 6, 53. Jesus says that the resurrection of all the dead, the queen of the south will rise and condemn them because of their lack of faith. Matthew chapter 10, verse 15 states, "Amen, I say to you, It will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on that day, on the day of judgment, than for that town, the town that does not accept Jesus' word. The real issue brought before us today is, who do we hold allegiance with? Who is our spiritual mother in this context? Hagar, the slave woman, or Sarah, the wife of Abraham? To break this down a little closer to home, are we listening to the teaching of the church, or are we listening to the way of the world? Do we accept the sign coming from the Son of Man, or are we following the God of this age? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In receiving the truth of the Son of Man, by accepting his kingship, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, we are then accepting the queenship of the woman of Revelation chapter 12, the mother of all, her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus, Revelation chapter 12, 17. At Fatima, our Lord wanted to reveal the honoring of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the heart of the freeborn woman who was faithful to the King of Kings. Jesus promised to those who accept and receive his sign that he will raise them on the last day, John chapter 6, verse 40, 44, 47, 51, 54, and 57. Jesus gives six reasons to believe in his sign. And like St. Peter, we should say, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe that and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. John chapter 6, verse 68. O divine, eternal Father, in union with your divine Son and the Holy Spirit, and through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg you to destroy the power of your greatest enemy, the evil spirits. Cast them into the deepest recesses of hell and chain them there forever. Take possession of your kingdom, which you have created and which is rightfully yours. Heavenly Father, give us the reign of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I repeat this prayer out of pure love for you and with every beat of my heart and with every breath I take. Amen. And we are now, still, we are in Advent, preparing for the coming of the King. Yes, we're recognizing he's come as a little bitty baby on Christmas morning. But he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And when he comes, every eye shall see him.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I just want to encourage everyone to just make Advent a preparation to prepare for the coming of the King. The holy name of Jesus, preparing for December 25th, and make ourselves ready for his coming and give ourselves as a Christmas gift to our Lord. Because that's what he seeks. He seeks to be a part of our life. He loves us. He loves you. And so with that, I will end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And make the Mass the center of your life, and pray the Rosary. Pray the Rosary with your families. Pray the Rosary for your families. For our country, pray for America, and pray for peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding that Jesus can give and understanding. God bless you all. good day.